The topic for today is United We Stand. United We Stand. I'll explain more on that slightly later. But I'm pretty sure the worship has left us feeling really serious. It's a good feeling to have. But allow me to just break it slightly with a joke I found of this American stand-up comedian called Emo Phillips. Right? So here's what he narrates an incident. Two men are standing on a bridge, right? Two men are standing on a bridge. One is about to jump off, and the other is trying to talk him out of it, right? That's the scenario. The man asks the jumper, "So are you a Hindu or a Christian or a Jew or what? What are you?" So the jumper replies, "A Christian." And the man says, "Haha, small world, me too." "Protestant or Catholic or Orthodox?" The jumper says, "Protestant." The man replies, "Haha, me too. What denomination?" The jumper says, "Baptist." "Me too. Southern Baptist or Northern Baptist?" "Northern Baptist." "Me too. Northern Conservative Baptist or Northern Liberal Baptist?" "Northern Conservative Baptist." "Me too. Northern Conservative Baptist, Great Lakes region, or Northern Conservative Baptist, Eastern region?" "Northern Conservative Baptist, Great Lakes region." "Me too." "Northern Conservative Baptist, Great Lakes region, Council of 1879, or Northern Conservative Baptist, Great Lakes region, Council of 1912? The jumper answers, "Northern Conservative Baptist, Great Lakes Region, Council of 1912. The man pushes him and screams, "Die, you heretic!" I know for a fact that since its inception, if there's one problem that has been plaguing the global church and as well as local churches, it is lack of unity or divisions in the church. Even if you're not a follower of Jesus this morning, this is not a surprise to you. You've probably seen a lot of it. This morning, I would like to invite all of us for a time of introspection and think objectively about our local church, New City. Can we do that? Let's be very objective. You don't need to answer, so you can be as honest as possible. Do we feel that all of us are absolutely united for the purpose of Christ's mission that we are called for as a church? Breaking it down a little more, do we struggle with differences with our fellow community people? I'll break it a little more. Is it coming in the way of us flowing as one community for that one mission that we have to display the love of Jesus to the city of Mumbai? Is it coming in the way of us growing? This morning, let's go through a passage that addresses this problem head on. This passage is from the Bible, and it's from the New Testament of the Bible, this part after Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and after he ascended back to his Father. The disciples, they saw this good news, they've experienced this good news, and they went on throughout the world just sharing it and planting churches. Now, these churches were pretty much like us. They had their own divisions. They had their own problems. So Paul, an amazing disciple of Jesus, is writing this letter to a church who's been struggling with divisions and lack of unity. So let's just dive straight into the passage. We've read it a couple of days ago during CBR. There you go. "Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all his many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that we should be no division, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Allow me to just pray before we start. Jesus, this morning, would you invade our hearts? Would you wage war in our hearts against everything that is distracting us, against everything that is coming in the way of us falling deeply in love with you and deeply in love with each other as a community? Would you speak to us this morning? In your name we pray. Amen. We've seen and addressed the problem. What is the problem? Divisions or lack of unity. To address this issue, Paul is actually using an analogy which is very clear. He's actually drawing parallels between a human body and the church. Let's look at them today and let's see how he is addressing them. This is how the framework is going to look. We have the problem. I'm going to divide the diagnosis into part one and part two, and then we'll have the antidote. Is that fine? Diagnosis part one, part two. Diagnosis part one, the problem of inferiority. Verses 15 to 19 says, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, for it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. Let's be very honest with ourselves. Let's be very honest with ourselves. Have we felt disconnected in a community? Have we felt disconnected in the community because when we've looked at others, we felt, oh, that's how I should be. They are so good. Oh, they can sing so well. Oh, they can speak so well. Oh, the way they relate with people is amazing. I'm just an introvert. Have we looked at others and desired to be someone else? Let's be honest. All of this makes us falsely believe that I probably do not belong here. Let's be honest with our feelings. Let's see how Paul is arguing with this today. First, he's using the argument of logic. It would not for that reason stop being part of the body. No matter how inferior you feel, you're part of the community. We're still one body. It's logic. The second reason he's using is diversity. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? What you perceive as inferiority in the community is an equal and important gift mix and Holy Spirit manifestation to bless the community. All of us, when we meet on Sundays especially, each of us is bringing something unique to the table which God has blessed us with and only we have to offer. It's pretty much like that Infinity Gauntlet. No spoilers, I haven't seen the movie. I'm seeing it today. If all the six Infinity Stones are not on the gauntlet, it does not have full power. All the six stones need to be there. Now think about this. As followers of Jesus, when we miss out on gathering as a community, be it a Sunday service gap or informal gatherings, we are probably robbing each other of what God has uniquely gifted us that no one has to offer. We're probably robbing the community. The third reason he gives is God's sovereignty. We've been hearing a lot about this. He says, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. God wanted them to be like that. I know that even when you're feeling inferior, you know what the root of that problem is? You know what at the root of that, what we actually believe in? We believe that God is at fault for creating us the way we are. God is at fault for giving us the gifts that we have, which we all know is not true. God can never be at fault. Allow me to share a story. When I was growing up, my dad used to pastor a church. Now, this church had a mix of different kind of people across all economic backgrounds. They had businessmen, professionals, and people from the low strata of the economy. And in my early 2000s, I noticed this woman called Nukama. Nukama, at that point in time, was an aged lady. She used to work as a house help, and she was part of this church. Considering the nature of her job, her economic standing, she had every reason to feel inferior in a community filled with professionals and businessmen. But Nukama had a really, really generous heart. She probably in the early 2000s would make a monthly wage of less than half a thousand. I was really blessed to see every month she would give away 20% of her income to the church as a tithe. It doesn't stop there. The church had its own social wing. She would give every month to the church's social wing. It didn't stop there. The church was big on missions. So every year they would take a missions pledge and say, we want to set aside this amount of money to give to the missionaries, the people who go to these remote places to show the love of Jesus. Nukama would pledge. And she would fulfill the pledge year after year. When the church needed its own building and people were generously giving, Nukama sold her jewelry, brought the money and generously gave to the church. The church was so moved that when they inaugurated the new facility, she inaugurated it. Recently, she passed away and she told her children, all my savings give away to the Ashraya Charitable Society, which is the society of the church. Every time I think about it, I'm just having goosebumps right now. God reminds me of how flawed my perception of inferiority and superiority is. Let's break that lie this morning. God has uniquely created us and blessed us with gifts and talents only we can bring. Only we can bring. If the problem of inferiority is at one end of the spectrum, equally on the opposite end is the problem of superiority. The verses 21 to 26 say, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Well, we outrightly might not look at someone and say, hey, we don't need you. But let's introspect. Let's be honest for a moment. Don't we feel and act as if we are better off than at least one person in this room? That we can make do with or without them? It's okay, guys. Let's be authentic. Let's be real. This is what church needs to be. The gospel has given us the freedom to be. Don't we honestly feel this way? It's real. Let's look at how Paul presents it in this passage. He says, on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. To be very honest, I acknowledge and appreciate what I can see. I behave and act as the most important parts of my body are my face and my hair. I spend way much time just taking care of them. But we all do know they are not the most important parts of the body. That's the part of the body we can see. But the important parts like the heart and the brain are the ones that God covered beautifully in the skin and honored them. That's how God created us. Now, in the church body, are we probably ignoring the people who serve day in and day out behind the scenes in New City, doing probably what you can't see, probably preaching or singing, but do equally important things to make sure the community keeps running. People are cared for. If you come in the morning at 9:15, you see what the hall doesn't look like this. Let me be honest. If that's one part of Sunday, the gap group leaders who graciously open up a home. You know what it feels like to open up a home every week to a bunch of people who eat like crazy, make a lot of noise? It requires a big heart. Are we probably taking out time to appreciate people who work behind the screens? And I know a lot of us are committed here in New City, but there are a lot of us who still don't enjoy this privilege of serving together. At least this morning, can we begin with acknowledging the people who serve and do these thankless jobs in the community? What we often fail to notice, acknowledge, and appreciate are these little things are as important as what happens on here, or probably even more important in some cases. Many times, I tend to ignore them. Week after week, I'm sorry, Tehi, I'm using you as an example, but Tehi, her heart to serve and just clean those communion cups and serve just moves me to worship, and I've not thanked her enough. In other words, allow me to submit that if we are ignoring people who are doing these jobs and walking away, turning a blind eye, we are operating from a place of superiority. In other words, when we are mere consumers of grace and not conduits of it, we are operating from a place of superiority. We love being served, but not to serve. To begin with, can we start acknowledging them? Recognize them. And after we've done that, can we probably start looking for opportunities to serve? God has blessed us with unique gifts. If we are not bringing them and just being consumers of others' gifts, we're probably robbing the community of what God has planned for us. Now that we've acknowledged this as a problem, inferiority and superiority, what is the antidote? Let's look at the passage to see what the Bible says. So that there be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ. Each one of you are a part of it. I think the antidote to both these problems is, irrespective of how you perceive yourself and perceive others, it is proactively bearing a heart of service and concern for each other. David Guzik, a brilliant Bible commentator, said something which slapped me right in the face. It might come as harsh, but it's the truth. Let's just look at it. The parts of the body work together. The eyes and ears do not only serve themselves, but the whole body. The hands do not only feed and defend themselves, but the whole body. The heart does not supply blood to itself, but serves the whole body. Sometimes there is a part of our body which only lives to serve itself. It doesn't contribute anything to the rest of the body, and everything it gets, it uses to feed itself and grow itself. We call this cancer. The moment we stop serving other parts and just enjoy other people's service in the community, we're probably at the risk of becoming cancerous. Let's face reality for a moment. I know that it's a struggle, week after week, day after day, moment after moment, bearing this heart of service, putting others before us. It is a struggle. It is a real thing, especially living in a city of Bombay when everyone is trying to get ahead of the other. This morning, let me invite us to look to Jesus, who is worthy of it all. God created man for a perfect community, a community which without any sin, without any divide, perfect unity, which always looked to serve others. But after man sinned, at the heart of the sin was serve me, serve me. It became really impossible for God to relate to man. And it became impossible for man to relate back to God. There was a divide. But God in his infinite love and grace sent Jesus, his son, who is God himself, who willingly crossed over the divide for our sake. He crossed over the divide to radically serve us. Being the most superior being, he crossed over the divide to radically serve us by taking on flesh and blood, living the perfect life that we ought to have lived, and earning the absolute pleasure of God. Instead of being rewarded for his perfect track record, he suffered the punishment that we deserved for our lack of that record. Just as this verse says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. To reconcile us back to this perfect community, the perfect Jesus served us by suffering the punishment of our sins and bestowing upon us the honor that only he rightfully deserved to be called sons and daughters of God. And because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, we are now reconciled to this perfect community. A perfect community with God. I know when we look at us, we still see mess. That's a reality. If that is one reality, we are living in a tension between what we know and what we also know is going to come in the future. Jesus invited us a free invitation through his blood into this community. We sang that song, welcomed as the friends of God. That's the beautiful community that Jesus has invited us to. Now, what does it look today? I know there's mess within us. There are divisions within us. But since Jesus bridged the unbridgeable, the divide between the infinitely holy superior God and infinitely messed up inferior man by radically serving us to death, there is no divide in a gospel community that cannot be bridged. We are his body. That's it. Period. We are his body. As followers of Jesus, we probably forget that our differences are too petty in the light of the blood that was shed to unite us. And what is the basis of this unity? What is the basis of this unity? Is it shared interests? Is it the unity that the IPL team feels just before the match? Let's do this. That one spirit. Is it that spirit? No. Let's see what the Bible says. For we all were baptized by one spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. We were all given one spirit to drink. The basis of our unity is the Holy Spirit that flows in us. Not our shared interests. Not our common economic backgrounds. Not our hobbies. But it is the Spirit of God that lives in us, bringing us together as one community. It is the same Spirit that brings us together. This morning, are we, let's be very honest, are we feeling inferior this morning, if you're feeling inferior this morning, God has given us what only we have. We bring to the community what only we have. Our gift is equally important than anything you desire. If you're feeling superior, I'll be very honest, I feel, honestly, many times, sinful, messed up heart. God is reminding me, the only thing superior is God. And He came down to serve me to death so that I can be part of this one perfect community. If you are not a follower of Jesus this morning, and you're just exploring Him, I know that deep inside each of us are looking and longing for this love. Longing for this acceptance with so much hatred and divisiveness around us in the world, in our workplace. We are all desperately looking for this. Friends, if you've experienced any love in this community, we are still terribly imperfect. We're worshiping a perfect God. If you've experienced any love in this community that made you feel accepted, that made you feel welcome, it is not us. It is Christ in us. That's the only difference. That's the only difference. This morning, Jesus is inviting you not just to be consumers of this love, but also to be conduits of this love. Jesus is saying, you are accepted because I died for you. I died for you. You can be part of this one perfect community. You know what the reality is? As much as we desire for this perfect community, it is only a reality when Jesus comes back. And when Jesus comes back, it is only our faith in Him that will take us into this community. As much as the harsh reality is, the truth is, apart from faith in Jesus, this is not possible.